If I can have your attention, local government meeting for February 21st, 2005, 12:30 p.m. will come to order. This is Representative Mark Olson, Chair of Local Government Committee. Welcome. Do we have a quorum?
I don't know.
Representative Cornish is already looking at the minutes and ready to go. But we need to wait for a quorum, Representative Cornish. Or to confirm that we have one. It looks like we do, but I'll wait for the clerk's report. We have a number of items on the agenda, members, and a fairly tight time schedule today. I want to reference the fact that originally we had planned to continue this agenda after session, but some other meetings have been called, and we cannot do that. I don't want to rush the agenda. I want to be thorough and allow the testimony and everything, but if it goes well, we're, I believe, allowed a little extra time in this committee. If members are open to that, we could continue for a little bit longer in this room after our normal committee time and possibly finish this agenda anyway. So I'll just make a note of that now so members know, and if you have objections, just get word to me if there's problems with that, because I don't want to cause anybody to miss anything that is important and a matter of fulfilling your responsibilities. We also have with us today a group of students from Brainerd High School Television Productions, led by Steve Augustinak, otherwise known as Gus, as I understand it. And if there's no objections, they're going to be videotaping part of our meeting, so all the normal antics and everything is... Whatever you guys want to do is fine. Just know that it'll be televised up in the Brainerd area. Welcome to the committee. And with that, we do have a quorum. While Representative Gazelka is bringing his group to the table, I'd like to ask Representative Cornish to move the minutes from... excuse me, I got too many layers here. February 14th.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cornish moves the minutes for approval from February 14th. Is there any discussions? Seeing none, all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The minutes are approved from February 14th. Welcome to the committee, Representative Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's good to be here.
Representative Gazelka, I will move your bill... be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. I understand that's where it needs to go?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The bill is before us and you may proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Paul Gazelka, representative from the Brainerd Lakes area, so you all know, but when I first heard about this particular bill, I wasn't sure what to think, but after sitting in it for over an hour and listening to their perspective on why we needed this, it caused me to want to support it, and I hope you'll give it to your greatest attention. Commissioner Walters from Crow Wing County is with me, as is Craig Gilbertson. He's an environmental planner. And so at this point, I think I'm going to turn it over to them because really they're the experts.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, please.
Gary Walters, Chairman of Crow Wing County Board of Directors. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Committee members. The last 2 years, Crow Wing County has been looking at forming a sanitary sewer district with its main emphasis on managing wastewater in the area outlying the two major cities, actually. Our biggest goal is to make on-site systems an efficient and cost-effective wastewater management treatment for our area. As we all know, the big pipe is getting extremely expensive, and wastewater is of large concern. Our committee's done a good job, but about the time we're looking at implementing this in Crow Wing County, we ran into a state statutory snag. According to our understanding of how state statutes work, we can form a sanitary sewer district covering our entire county, but we can't actually pick specific areas inside the county. For example, we'll call them pilot projects. We either have to take the whole county on as a whole or take on contiguous areas, not specific pocket areas. You know, the Brainerd Lakes area, we have a lot of places that are highly populated with lakes and a lot of people living around them. We from the county board would like to be able to form a sanitary sewer district and then actually take, instead of under small subordinate districts, call it one district, even though the areas aren't all connected together. So this bill actually allows us to do that. It's specifically for Crow Wing County. That's it in a nutshell what we're trying to get.
Thank you. Representative Zelka.
Mr. Chair, if I can just add briefly what made me think about it and why I was interested in it, is we have over 400 lakes in our county, and many of those, virtually everybody around those lakes has septic systems. They don't have the big pipe sewer. And, you know, the two things that I think about when I think about water is, number one, we have to drink it. We need to make sure that the septic systems don't leak and destroy the water that way. And then also the recreational reasons of why we want to have clean water. And so that was really what got me interested in taking a look at their program. It's proactive. It's saying we need to make sure we're monitoring these on a regular basis and making sure that they're not causing harm to the environment. So
thank you. Questions? Or do you have more testimony? No. Okay. No. Questions for Representative Markwart?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And this probably goes to the commissioner. Would this allow you to actually construct sewer systems? And I guess if it's yes, what are the feelings of the property owners as far as being levied for a new sewer system? And the third question is, are you having problems with the septic systems now that might create a problem for the lakes?
I'll answer the first one, the last one first. At this point, statistically, we don't have a huge problem for on-site systems failing in the county. We do have a few problems, that we know of. We do have a few problems we're already aware of through innuendos and rumors. There's still people using 50-gallon barrels as septic systems. Right now, the county, and I think it's most counties in the state, have no way of actually checking these things. We have no programs in place. That's where this came from originally, was from a water district had a suggestion of, what are we going to do about on-sites? So when they came to the county board, we said it's a great idea, and we spent the last 2 years deciding how we would address it. Our main emphasis is to get a handle on what they're doing, what people are doing, and then make sure they're doing it right from there on out. When it comes to, let's say you have an area that's highly populated, and the systems, that's, for example, are all failing, and they need some kind of a solution, either a collector system or some type of pipe, we don't expect that the district itself will actually pay for this. We expect it to be the conduit to get these people organized, and they would pay for it much like the city I live in, the city of Baxter. We're individually assessed for the large pipe system that goes through my front yard. So from a funding mechanism, it's an organizational tool more than anything else, keeping on-site systems as the number one aspect for wastewater treatment in Crow Wing County.
Mr. Representative Markwart.
Yeah, thank you. Now, when you spoke about these districts, are there currently, lake districts or water districts? What are you talking about?
This is beyond my expertise, but there's... Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
What's 30 lakes?
There's watershed districts throughout the state. They're the one, the catalyst that got the whole thing started. They realized there was probably a problem and wanted it to be addressed and looked at, which is why they hired originally, we hired a consultant to check for the hot spots in the lakes area. The districts itself we talk about forming are concentrated in areas where the lakes are the most closest together, for lack of a better phrase. However, they're in different spots in the county. They're not contiguous. You have the Whitefish Chain as an area. You have unorganized territory in Pelican Lake area. You have south of the Brainerd area has a few spots. They've all talked to the county board and this committee about being part of this district, but right now we can't put it together unless we either say the whole county, which we're not ready to do yet, because there's areas where they don't have this dense lakeshore population or immediate need to have us taken under advisement, let alone we don't have the expertise yet to make sure we go countywide. If we're going to provide a service, we want to make sure we're providing the best service we can at all times.
Representative Markwart.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. One more question on the districts. If within this district, let's say the county determined or someone determined that there would have to be a new sewer system because the on-sites are not in good shape, would that require voter approval within the district, or could this county sewer district just say, okay, you're going to have this system? And I mean, would there be local vote on that so they would have a decision on what?
It actually goes to the, Mr. Chair, it actually goes to the public hearing process. When it comes to the actual laws on this 116, it's formed much like a public utilities commission. So my understanding would be there's not actually a vote from the public in that area if they would have a large system put in place. But there is a public hearing process, much like most municipalities have now, when a sewer system is brought through the neighborhoods.
Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Crow Wayne, you're right next to Cass County, I believe. Correct?
Mr. Wall, sorry, Mr. Chair, I missed the question.
Crow Wayne and Cass County are kind of right next to each other. And do you both share Gull Lake?
Mr. Walter.
Mr. Chair, yes, we both share Gull Lake.
Does Cass County have a similar...
Mr. Chair, at this point, Cass County has not been looking at having a sanitary sewer system put in place, sanitary sewer district put in place. I think once we get... My understanding from the scale that we're trying to do at Crow Wayne County, we are the forefront, the first people trying to do this. There's another system that's in place in Ottersville County, but it's much smaller. About 1,600 homes are affected. It's been around since the 80s. It's kind of we at Crow Wayne County have been monitoring their system and seeing how it's been working, and they've had great success. And one of the points that I put out is they've had very few failed systems into an individual homeowner, which means less money comes out of their pocket in the long run, because replacing entire systems is rather expensive. That's because one of our goals is to get as much longevity out of an on-site system as possible, therefore creating less cost for the homeowner.
Representative Wardlaw.
I got a question, one more, about Squaw Point. Is that part of Crow Wayne or Cass?
Mr. Walters.
No worries.
Mr. Chair, I believe the Squaw Point area is actually part of Cass County.
Because I understand they have some problems with their septic tanks, I think.
Mr. Walters. Mr. Chair, I would assume that's correct in that area, because you have very small lots, not a lot of land. And that's one of the issues for our parts of the country is, what are we going to do in the long run? It's very expensive to bring the large municipal big pipe system to those areas. Long miles to go in at millions of dollars a mile. So we're looking for innovative ways of actually addressing this on a much smaller basis for less cost to the individual.
Representative Scully.
So then, as I understand it, this would give you the right to inspect the existing systems and then levy bonds or issue bonds, and also the GO bonds, and then also to levy special assessments. And would that be, if you inspect a system and you find it in default, then you would use what method to make sure that the property owner replaces that system or does something to fit the sewer district?
Mr. Walters.
Mr. Chair, the first points that you pointed out about levying bonds and assessing, we in the county actually already have all of those capabilities. The problem that we're having and why we've introduced this bill is we can't form under one district and have separate areas. We could do it under subordinate districts. The reason our county has chosen, we prefer not to do that, is it creates additional layers and additional inefficiencies with more boards and more things like that. Yes, the county board at some point, if it makes sense to create a larger solution to a problem area issuing bonds, I would assume we would do such a thing. But from our committee's aspect, we've always looked at it as those benefiting from those solutions and repairs would be actually paying it, not a countywide basis. The other part, what we're looking at doing right now from the county's perspective is about a $20 to $25 administrative fee for those areas which we're going to work on first. That will cover all the administration costs from the county's perspective. The actual inspections or evaluations we expect to be done by, at this point, the private sector. When it comes to the larger solutions, those will be addressed on a case-by-case basis and how it will be funded.
Any follow-up, Representative Scully?
Yes, I was just wondering what mechanism then that the county would use, thank you, Mr. Chair, to make sure that those got taken care of to your satisfaction.
Mr. Walters.
Do you have the right to go in, do you have the right to go in and do the repairs yourself or the redo of the system if somebody so chooses not to follow the rules?
Mr. Chair, if I can understand the question, in the event that someone is not reasonably cooperative and they're not doing the inspection process which we ask for, we're currently on the books of the existing rules for the county to use a county enforcement and the county attorney's office to actually enforce someone who wants to not follow the rules.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Gazelka, for bringing this forward. Our family's had the opportunity to vacation in this one the last 6 or 7 summers, and we need to keep that water as clean as possible. But my question is, what I've noticed, really over these last few years, is a tremendous amount of growth in the area, you know, just from the highway. And I don't know if that, you know, the population figures bear that out. But is two questions. Number one, is some of this predicated on, you know, your continued growth as a region, and in addition to sort of correcting the, you know, current problem with septics? And secondly, do you have some land use policies that you're considering to go along with the sewer type policy to, you know, at least constrain the growth in such a way that it can be protective of these lakes?
Mr. Walters.
You want to go first?
Mr. Chair, it is because of growth we're looking at this issue. If it wasn't for the idea of growth coming in, I don't know if the county would have looked so hard and so long at this issue. We're looking at doubling our size in less than 20 years, according to even the state's people. Because of that and because of our lakes, not only is the on-site individual systems are a big issue with us, it even comes down to, and I use the phrase wrong in every one of our committees, what do we do with the dumping stuff? Right now it gets taken someplace, and the rest of us normal people, and I just about everybody, doesn't have any idea where it goes. Well, if our population doubles in the next 20 years, they're going to live somewhere. So not only are they going to bring in more septage and dumpage, they're going to take up the land that it needs to go on. That's one of the reasons why Crowley County wanted to do it on a county-wide formation of this district, so we could assess what properties we have across the county. Not only county tax forfeiting county lands, but even private lands, to make sure we have a place to put this stuff, for lack of a better phrase. Mr. Chairman, I may miss the other question.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hornstein,
just are there some land use policies that you're also considering? I think, is it 271 that comes up?
300.
Yeah, 371. I've just, you know, there's just, I mean, I think there were fields there 10 years ago, and now you've got these big retail stores and all kinds of things going up there. Do you have any sort of land use planning policies that you're considering in addition to this sewer to sort of constrain some of that growth?
Mr. Chair,
erect it in a place that's more appropriate.
Mr. Walter.
Mr. Chair, we've actually redone our county comprehensive plan to look at some of those issues. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at PUDs in our area, both lakeshore and non-lakeshore, how we're going to address those. A lot of it's actually generated around how we're going to manage wastewater. Not just where we're going to put the people within the transit system, but how is wastewater going to be managed? Because like it or not, as you've been there, the lakes are a gorgeous area. But not only is it lakeshore owners we're concerned with, it's just the groundwater in general. If that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. And again, thank you for bringing this forward. I hope more of these growing regions will do the same kind of thing. It's really needed.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a comment. I wanted to commend Commissioner Walters for the political courage to move this. It takes a force of will, and I think it's just wonderful stewardship that they're demonstrating, and I want to make sure we as a committee don't talk beyond the sale and scare him a little bit. We ought to just get this to a vote and get it moving.
Thank you, Representative Peterson and others. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gazelka, Mr. Walters, that talks about special service areas, and you're going to have several of them, it looks like, or a combination thereof. I'd like to know what and how many you're planning on, based on a plan that you've gotten or have in place or thought about. Also, Mr. Chair, question to you, because it involves property tax levied, should this go to the tax chair? That's a question for you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Walters?
Mr. Chair, at this point, we have addressed one specific area for sure, which is 5 townships and 1 unorganized territory. There's also been discussion from a couple other townships near the Whitefish Chain area, including the cities of Cross Lake, which have great interest in what we're doing and how they can be part of it. Which is why we had to have this change right away, because they're not contiguous areas. We also have one other township, which is south of Brainerd, Crowing Township. It specifically asked me in a meeting with rather interesting language if they could be part of it. They're coming out of the woodworks wanting to do this thing as much as possible. From a county board perspective, we're just a little nervous about how much we can take on at one time. So right now we're really talking about two different areas, which would be the just north of the Brainerd-Baxter area. The other one would be very close to the Whitefish Chain.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson, it's my understanding that they've not requested it, but you raise a good point, and I'm instructing the committee administrator to check it out, or we'll check it out with the chair on the floor today.
Thank you.
There's plenty of time to get it moved there. For now, since they have not requested it while requesting numerous other bills, we'll just check to make sure it wasn't an oversight on their part. But good question. Representative Salk.
If I can make a comment, too. I personally, Mr. Chair, live in rural Brainerd, so I have a septic, and I think I represent the typical rural resident that isn't always paying attention to their septic system. I mean, if you flush the toilet and it goes down there, it works, you don't even think about it. But what they're proposing, I think, is probably the least expensive solution to making sure that it's monitored on a regular basis and taken care of, and that's part of the reason I'm buying into it.
Thank you. Other discussion?
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Gazalka, could you tell me a little bit about this right for eminent domain and whether or not these are going to be elected officials? And
Representative Gazalka, could you repeat that?
Representative Holberg.
In the summary of this bill, it says that it will give this commission the right to use eminent domain. And I'm concerned about that. I think that it should be used very sparingly, and I would much prefer that elected officials have that power rather than appointed officials. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that provision in your bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, I'm going to let the commissioner answer that.
Mr. Chair, although I'm not the attorney who wrote most of these things, we as a county actually already have the right to do the eminent domains. The end all where I see this going with the setup is much like a public utilities commission at some point. They still would not have the right to actually eminent domain. This rule just, the bill just restates some of the current rules in place with the expansion of that we can actually now have separate areas that are not contiguous. That is the biggest question we're asking for. We can do just about everything you've all asked me already as a county, but we have to do it on separate subordinate districts. We would like that change to Crowing County where we can have it under one district, under one organization, as opposed to several separate ones. That answers your question.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Seeing none, is there anybody else here that would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, the chair renews his motion that House File 702 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the bill is passed and sent to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Committee Member. Commissioner, Representative Gazalka, members.
Where's the treats?
Yeah. I'm sorry that I forgot, as a freshman, I forgot the treats. I'm sorry about that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to change my vote.
I'm doing my center. I was going to mention that before the vote, Representative Gazalka, but I delayed that, so... Thank you. Next, we have Representative Ruth with House File 357.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Ruth, are we replacing...
We're replacing this with Senate File 262. Okay. It's using the Senate, Senate language. It has passed through and is on, passed through the consent calendar.
Thank you, Representative Ruth. I understand we actually have the Senate file, so...
Correct.
That wasn't clear here in my notes. Where would you like this to go, Representative Ruth? We have a couple options, as I understand it.
For this to probably either go to the consent calendar or the General Register, whichever.
It was on the consent calendar in the Senate?
right, then I believe it went right through. So should be fine. There isn't much to the bill.
The chair will move Senate File 262 be recommended to pass and be sent to the consent calendar. Representative Ruth, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Well, this bill, while it is large in size, basically talks about just a few things, and I'll certainly let the experts in the field talk about it, but it's talking about changing the word from file to record, and that goes throughout. And that is really... Filing is just done for plats to record, and which is what happens to documents presented to the county recorder or the register of titles. And with that, I'm just going to turn it right over to Kay Buckley, who is our Martin County recorder. And
welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Kay Buckley, Martin County recorder.
Okay. You may proceed.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Representatives, the main bill, the large bill, is just like Representative Ruth had commented, it just changes the wording from record to file, excuse me, from file to record, because that is what our processes are. We basically went in and cleaned up some language. We took out a couple pieces that we don't do anymore, some obsolete jobs that are no longer done in our offices and have not been done in our offices for many years. And that is basically what this large bill does. It's just a cleanup bill and some wording changes in it.
Thank you.
You might want to talk about that.
Representative Ruth, do you have more testimony or would you like to take questions?
We do have one more piece. I'm just going to have Ms. Rookie announce about.
Okay, Ms. Rookie.
Mr. Chair, representatives, on the back page of the bill, it mentions some of the things that were changed, and so it specifies official abstract certificates and entries. Some changes. These are old figures. 40 cents for doing things that haven't been done in years. The deputies and the salaries. These are no longer. These are obsolete types of things that are done. In the offices. For instance, the county recorder shall be paid $2 for each instrument recorded. Because our offices are fee-based offices, initially that's the way the offices were set up to run and operate on fees, and for every document that was recorded, the county recorder's salary was $2 per document. We cleaned those out of that bill because I think $2 isn't quite an adequate salary for county recorders.
Thank you.
And that basically completes our testimony on Senate File 262. So if you have any questions, I know Ms. Rex will be happy to answer them.
Representative Tao.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's a reasonable amount of time? It's being changed from 10 days to reasonable amount of time. What's a ballpark figure?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Rupp.
That deals with abstracting, and very few counties in the state do abstracting. We want to keep abstracting basically in the private industry, and so we've addressed that as a reasonable amount of time versus 10 days. It's not our primary function in our office to do abstracting. Our primary function in our office is to record documents and get them of record. Abstracting is a secondary function of our office. If counties want to stay in the market of abstracting because it does bring revenue into the county, they will return those documents in a reasonable amount of time, which would be competitive with the private industry. In many instances, those are more than 10 days. So since our turnaround times, and in the other bill you'll also notice that our turnaround times have been reduced, we would be very wise to keep those reasonable amount of times very reasonable within that 10-day period.
Further questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Ruth, this is your county recorder or registrar of titles. Are they in the same office or is it the same place? Why do we have to distinguish between the two? Because if it's in the same office, it's the same person that's in charge of it, right?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Representative, I am a county recorder. I do not have torrens property in my county. I have abstract property in my county. Avis Lewison from Steele County is has Torrens property and abstract property in her counties. And the title goes along with each of those duties. A recorder records abstract property, and a register of titles records the Torrens property pieces. The majority of the counties in the state have some abstract. The metro counties have larger amounts of, of Torrens property, and the outstate counties have very little Torrens property. But it's a different system doing basically the same thing. We still record the documents. It's just a way of pulling the information out of the record, basically.
Any other questions? Any other testimony for or against this bill? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that Senate File 262 be recommended to pass and be sent to the consent calendar. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the bill is passed to be sent to the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you.
And then I believe we have the next one as well.
House File 358. And this one, I understand, has to go to State Government Finance.
Mr. Chair, we believe it's more appropriate actually going to Jobs Finance, and we have spoken with the chair of Jobs Finance. So it would be recommended to pass to Jobs Finance.
Jobs Finance. I got to get used to these new names.
Yeah, I know.
It's not economic development and
jobs. Well, it's not really. Yes, it's jobs
and opportunity. Policy and finance.
Thank you. The vice chair over here knows, Mr. Chair. It's too long. It used to be Jobs Finance.
Jobs Finance will do for me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So. Okay. I will move that House File 358 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to Jobs Finance. Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is, House File 358 is the result of customers of the county recorders and the registrar of titles wanting more consistency and uniformity across the state in fees that are charged for the recording process. We've noted that, and you will see, and some it started out at 1995, but then they would continue on to add on all these other fees. The idea is that it would be uniform across the state, and that those other fees then would be eliminated. It also allows for new dollars to support technology enhancements that are going on within the counties in the years ahead. With me, I also have Stewart County Recorder Avis Lewison, which is where I reside, and they will talk about the bill in more detail. And there also is an amendment, Mr. Chair, that we would like to have passed, the A1 amendment. Do you have that?
Yes, I do. Would you like that done right away?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I remove the H.O. 358 A1 amendment. Members should see that in your packet. And I believe this is to get the bill in order that the author would like it.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. There have been some issues we have been working on, and we believe that this helps with our bankers and the other areas, the realtors that have been working on the bill. And with the amendment, it puts it in the order that we need in order to be able to pass it.
I will move that amendment. Any discussion? I think we'll just let them present this and get it in the order you'd like it. All those in favor of that motion signify, excuse me, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I just have a question about this amendment. It says for recording any plat, a fee of $50, of which $4 must be paid to the state treasury and credited to the general fund. Is that standard language? Is that currently done everywhere else?
Ms. Rookie.
Yes. Yes, that is. The reason that piece is right on the very top of that amendment is that it shows up in Torrens property, but it did not show up to reflect in abstract property as a $50 fee for filing plats, which is a more exaggerated process than just recording a real estate document. The breakdown of fees is what is already in statute presently.
Out of courtesy to the author, we'll get the bill in the order that she would like it, and I renew my motion to adopt the A1 amendment. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And then Ms. Rookie will proceed with the testifying.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
Ms. Rookie.
The Recorder's Fee Standardization Bill creates consistency in the real estate recording fees by restructuring and eliminating confusing fees. It creates flat statewide fees for uniformity, and it's done by eliminating our county add-on fees, additional page counts, 50 cent per lot fees over a certain lot amount, and the penalty of non-standard documents. It enhances our technology fund for recorders to develop and maintain systems that improve document turnaround times and provides for electronic recording, updating the cumbersome back office paper systems, and provides for security in archiving 150 years of recorded documents. It will make it possible for the data services our primary customers are requesting, such as internet capabilities and the data integration between our other county offices. It will enable county recorders to recover the cost of our document recording. Our last fee increase was in 1991. I have a handout there which says the Wabasha County is a graph of the fees and the revenue. And the second page is actually shows a little more in detail, even though it's a little difficult to read. But it shows what our revenue is, what our expenses is, and on the very bottom, the cost that comes from the county general funds that is not being paid by the fees is on the bottom level of this chart. It goes from 1995 to 2004. This is an example of how our county fees have not kept up with our expenses. One other part of that is that our largest part of our county budget is our salaries, and the jobs that are in our offices are well-paying jobs. They have benefits, and they're very supportive to our community, and we really need to keep these jobs within our communities. It may appear that the fee increase is doubled in amount, but the majority of the fees that we collect, or the majority of the documents that we collect, are at $29.50. But the increase is actually only a 25% increase, which is to $40. The other point that I'd like to emphasize on this bill is that it imposes a more rigid timetable for recording real estate documents, and it creates standards for our accountability. It creates, in the amendment that we have passed out also, it has that, it shows how we have to be more accountable to our turnaround times and to represent that to our county boards. The bill was designed by efforts and concerns of the county recorders and the title companies. There was compromise and agreements on both sides. The amendment introduced with the bill was done by review of the real estate section of the Bar Association. We feel the input and the support from our primary customers, the title companies, and the real estate section of the Bar have produced an effective bill for accountability and an avenue for county recorders to effectively provide the services our customers are demanding. I'd like to just pass this on to Avis Lewison from Steele County because she would like to define some of our add-on fees, which are so confusing in county government.
Ms. Lewison, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Avis Lewison. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, if you could pull the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Just to briefly introduce you to Steele County, Steele County is located about 65 miles from St. Paul. The county seat is Owatonna. In addition to Owatonna, we also have the smaller towns of Medford, Blooming Prairie, and Allendale. Steele County is basically an agricultural community, although we have our share of retail businesses. And I'm sure everybody these days is familiar with Cabela's. Well, Owatonna is the home of Cabela's. We have a population of almost 35,000 people, and together they own 19,400 parcels of land. Since the origin of the recorder's offices, costs have increased throughout the counties, and we can no longer survive on the fees that have been by statute placed on recording documents. And In the years 1999 through 2004, Steele County operated with a deficit of $131,000, plus $75,000 that was spent on technology and equipment costs. Because of these deficits, which are not just common only to Steele County, county boards have encouraged their county recorders to find ways of increasing revenue. And those encouragements from the boards have resulted in recorders inventing fees that can be included or added on to the basic recording fee. Some of those include a $5 document handling fee, $5 mail-in fee, $5 insertion fee, $2 or $2.50 return mail fee, $10 rejection fee if your document is not sufficient for recording, a $10 pre-recording fee, a $25 priority fee. Steele County has adopted a $5 document handling fee and a $2 return mail fee. The basic recording fee for an abstract document is $19.50. If the document is more than 15 pages long, $1 is added to that fee per page. In addition, if the document is of a non-standard quality, an extra $10 by statute is added to it. The only difference between abstract and Torrens would be that recording a Torrens deed is $34.50 rather than $19.50, and there is no extra fee for extra pages beyond 15. About 35 to 50% of documents recorded in Steele County have some sort of an add-on fee. As a result of these add-on fees, an abstract mortgage of 20 pages could cost $42.50 at the present time to record. Torrens deeds, $52.50. Other Torrens documents, $37.50. Of the increase in the recording fees that is being proposed, $11 would go into the general fund, but earmarked for integration with other county offices. And $10 would go into a technology fund to be used by the county recorder's office for upgrading our recording systems. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Cornish.
Question anybody can answer there, Mr. Chairman. The fees seem to be kind of a moving target. How did you finally decide to settle on the one big fee that you did? What was your calculation method to come out at this fee?
Ms. Lewison.
Mr. Chair and member, $40 seemed to be a fee that would cover our costs and also make the fee standard across the state.
Mr. Chair,
Ms.
Representative, we have met with the title companies, who are our primary customer, and we've met with them for the last year in the discussion of this, and we have talked about what the fee should be, and when we are taking into consideration these add-on fees and what the add-on fee is used for in county government, we most certainly could not go below that add-on fee. And the title companies recommended that this would be an appropriate fee to pay for document recording, since they are collecting, at times they don't know how much they're collecting from time, you know, from one recording process to another. And so this would be a standard fee that they had set. We can justify out this cost on the recording of these documents, too.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Holberg.
So can you tell me the difference between the $40 fee and the $50 fee?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Rookie.
Representative. The $50 fee, as you've seen in there, is for plats. Plats are a completely different type of document, and it is for filing plats. We keep we keep three large 30 by 20 copies of a plat and Mylar copies
in our offices for permanent record. And so the recovery of future processes of technology and preserving that document have to weigh in on that fee. They're a much more cumbersome document to maintain and to keep. The $40 is for the recording of real estate documents, particularly mortgages, deeds, and that type of thing.
Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair, if I might, have there been any complaints from the counties that are currently charging more than what you're recommending?
Ms. Rupke.
Representative, our back offices and the needs that we have earmarked the money for are in serious need of updating. Technology has been very expensive. Our last fee increase was in 1991, and that's right before we started doing technology advances in our offices. My office didn't start. We were one of the very, we're the second county in the state to image documents. But the county picked up those costs for all of those technical changes. And basically, they have all along because technology didn't really start moving into county government until the mid-90s. And now it's just the way we have to process documents. And the request from our county customers, the data that they want out of our offices is basically... It no longer comes in a paper format. They want it back with multiple avenues of data from various offices. So we are building in that that fee for that technology change.
Mr. Chair, if I wasn't clear, on page 4 of this handout, you show Olmsted County with fees of $69.50, $79.50, and $64.50. Will they have to charge less as a result of this bill? And if so, have they complained?
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Rookie.
No, they have not complained that I am aware of, but yet they will have to fall in compliance with the $40 flat statewide fee. Not all of the documents that they record are at the $69 level. There are add-on fees that don't pertain to all of their documents. As Avis had mentioned, only 35 to 50% of her documents come in at that way. But our customers don't know what to send in for filing fees, and that's why this is a state flat-wide fee all the way around. It has been brought to the Minnesota County Recorders Association, and it has been approved by the County Recorders Association, which represents all 87 counties.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion? Representative Markworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Probably a question for Ms. Krucke. Do you know what would be the net change in either an add in dollars or a decrease in dollars that would go to counties based on these new fee structures? Have you got any idea what that's going to equate to?
Ms. Rookie.
Mr. Chair, Representative. Since 1998, we've really seen an influx of documents. I mean, we have peaks and valleys. The economy regulates the amount of documents that we get in. In 2002 and 2003, we were inundated with recording of real estate documents. Just recently, we were talking about what our totals were statewide, and we have not come up with a figure, but we were considering that it was only 25% decrease. In a recent conversation with a metro county, they stated that they have had a 35% decrease in recording of real estate documents since 2004, or excuse me, 2003 and 2004. We're not certain because of what the economy is giving us, and that's basically how we base our monies that are coming in. Yes, there would be an increase, but it is earmarked for technology and integrations of our offices, which sorely need it.
Thank you.
Representative Holstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't see a mechanism for increasing this fee, so this fee would be the fee that it costs for the next 10 years or 20 years or however many years until someone brings a bill forward to change the fee, correct? There's no inflation.
That is correct.
Mr.
Chair, Representative, that's correct. As I stated, our last fee increase was in 1991, and we did not build any inflation into this bill at all. But this would be the way it would be until another bill would be introduced later on.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Holstrom.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question. So will some counties actually be charging less?
Ms. Rookie.
Mr. Chair, Representative. As I stated, Ava Sluison had mentioned, approximately 35 to 50% of her documents come in with add-on fees or increased fees. So would any counties be getting less? Yes, in some cases they may be, but in some cases they're still only charging maybe the $29.50, and so we're feeling that this would even it out, that with 35 to 50% of the documents with add-on fees, I don't know how to say this. It's hard to figure the total amount because we don't really know how many exact documents come in with these different add-on fees. But yes, there could be a decrease in some of these fees, but they may be made up with the increase in other areas of those fees.
Further discussion? Representative Sanderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my antennas kind of came up when you were talking about these fees. And now, this being a statewide fee, would it be something that the county would keep, or would a portion of this fee go to the state?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the fees are broke down in statute already. Presently, they're in our recording fees, $4 goes to the state treasury, and 50 cents goes to an administrative fee, $1 goes to our technology fund. The remainder goes into the county general fund. Of that $19.50.
Representative Samuelson.
Mr. Chair, then you are saying that the amount that the state would get would be the same as the state has gotten in the past, or would there be an increase that the state would receive?
Ms. McKee.
Representative, the state would receive the $4. That would stay the same. And the only key changes would be our technology change and an integration fee for that would go into the county general fund to integrate county offices.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chair, it would be great to have an amendment that would increase the revenue to the state, but I don't think that's appropriate at this time.
You could, Representative Sanderson, you could list on two other committees. I think that might help. Further discussion? Representative Peterson.
Again, I'm always good for comment. I have on my office wall a hand-painted campaign sign of my grandmother, who was called the Recorder of Deeds, and at that time was an elected official, and she served for 25 years during the 20s and 30s. So, and I don't know when, would we ever elected them in Minnesota or not? Were your office
Mr. Chair and Representative,
Ms. Rookie.
She was a good woman to do that for 20
She sure
years.
Was.
Welcome back. And the majority of the county's recorders and registered titles are still elective, but there are many that are appointed too.
Further discussion? Seeing none, is there anyone else who'd like to testify for or against this bill? Welcome. Welcome to the committee. If you please make room for her and state your name for the record, please, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Susan Diori, and I represent the Minnesota Association of Realtors. I want to first thank Representative Ruth and the county recorders for their willingness to work with us on our concerns on this bill. Just from a historical perspective, I just want to put out there that Minnesota Realtors have supported increases in the recording fees in the past. We also supported their their dedicated fee to the technology fund. And after supporting that, we learned that the money actually went into the county general fund. And we subsequently heard from our county recorders that they still were not getting the funding that they needed in order to perform the duties that they had according to the statute. And we saw frequently that we were not meeting the pertinent deadlines that are set out in statute. So we certainly want to assist in making the necessary changes in order for them to be able to meet the statutory changes. Our concern, two concerns that we had with this bill is that we wanted to ensure that the money would actually get to the county recorders. And I have been assured by the parties
that in the amendment on page 4, lines 9 through 18, that this language that starts with "these funds are available as authorized, etc." that this language would ensure that only the money that is going to be raised by these fees would go only to the county recorders, and that the county commissioners could not use these funds for any other purpose. So with that assurance, we certainly would support the bill going forward. And the other issue, which was already addressed, is that we wanted accountability measures, which we think were met in this amendment. So we appreciate, again, their time, and thank you for the time to testify today.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Further discussion? Representative Ruth, do you have any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just again want to reiterate and would appreciate your support of passing this bill, because the main reason is we want to have consistency and standardization of the fees across the state, and also be able to have some dollars for the technology enhancements. And as the testifiers have pointed out, in many cases, the counties have had to pick up the fee because the recorders have not been able to recap those fees. So we would definitely appreciate your assistance in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ruth. I renew my motion that House File 358 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to the Jobs Finance Committee. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the bill is passed to be re-referred to Jobs Finance.
Thank you.
Yeah,
members.
Representative Ruth.
Thank you for your input.
Is Representative Rukavina here? I do not see him. With that, Representative Beard, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. And Representative Beard, as I understand it, Senate File 629 has actually been sent to the committee, so that's what you'd like to move?
Yes, if I can, Mr. Chair, please.
Representative Beard, and that would be go to the General Register.
Please, yes. Okay. It'll be Senate File 629. I believe I have a member to make that motion if you wish.
Or I can... Oh, Representative Hornsey?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the Senate file.
Okay, Representative Hornsey moves Senate File 629 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Welcome to the committee. Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I hope to see you a couple more times this year with aviation-related legislation. This will be the first one I'll bring forward. At the request of our friends at the Metropolitan Council and the Metropolitan Airport Commission, and I hope as I'm speaking to you, I have two members of those organizations walking down the aisle to join me at the Diaz here. Well, here comes Judd. He'll help me out. And I think Mitch Killian may want to speak to this also for the Metropolitan Airports Commission. So, Mitch, if you can stop speaking to your friend and come down here, we'd appreciate that. As you know, members, I chair the Aviation Subcommittee in the House of Representatives, and I watch out for aviation infrastructure that has been given to us as a legislature. Because the aviation infrastructure is so hugely important here in the metropolitan area, but indeed all across the state. In the metropolitan area, we have also another plant, a metropolitan operating agency called the Metropolitan Airports Commission, which was formed in 1943, about the time I believe the old Twin City Planning Commission was formed. And they've done a pretty remarkable job of giving us one of the best aviation systems, transportation systems in the world. We have an outstanding aviation infrastructure in this city, in this region. And the Metropolitan Airports Commission has got us to this point. And in the 60s, whenever we created the Metropolitan Council, now we had sort of two par organizations that were required to work together. And one of the things the previous legislature did was require the Metropolitan Council to also elevate aviation to a separate systems plan, one of three plans that the Met Council had to promulgate periodically and report to the legislature on. The legislation we have in front of us today merely de-requires, if I can use that word, the Met Council from publishing a separate aviation system plan. It seems to be duplicative.
It costs somewhere between $85,000 and $100,000 every time they publish the plan. So rather than have the Met Council duplicate the work that the Metropolitan Airports Commission is already doing, the council has come to us and asked us if we would remove the statutory requirement to make it a separate document that floats around among the piles and piles of books and reports that we get, and incorporate it into their transportation system plan, which seemed to me to be a prudent request. While we're doing this, we're also going to repeal some language that was written in 89 and 90, I believe, requiring the Metropolitan Council to be part of the dual-track airport process. And as you know, the legislature years ago decided to keep the airport where it is, and so we have some statutory language that's on the books that really is useless, if I can put in that word. With that, I'd like to call on my first witness, Mr. Chairman, to give a little more in-depth overview of the bill and stand for questions if you wish.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Judge Shetland with the Metropolitan Council. And just to give a little bit more detail, is currently when we came, or earlier this year when we came to the committee, we gave a broad overview of what the council's responsibilities are, and there are four systems that we are in charge of operating, that we are in charge of: the transportation, wastewater, parks, and aviation. And what we are doing with our aviation system is that, as Representative Beard mentioned, we'd like to take that system plan and fold it into our transportation policy plan, which we currently do for roads, walking, for rail, for light rail, and we figured that that was an easy place to fold that component into our transportation policy plan. What we're not doing is taking away any of the teeth that the council may have, which people have been concerned of in the past, it would still require the Metropolitan Airports Commission to develop a long-range comprehensive plan that they would have to bring to the council for us to review, and it also would still give the council the ability to do a review of metropolitan significance if any issue at the airport rises to that level. So that we see this as basically an efficiency bill for the council. It, like Representative Beard said, there is some duplication of responsibilities here, and we would just see this as an efficiency and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Shetland. Discussion. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And just a quick question for Mr. Shetland. There's still some budget oversight responsibilities that the council maintains in this legislation. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, that is correct.
Thank you. That Mr. Chair and members, that was one of my main concerns, and I think that is a very important function that was actually used when I was on the Met Council. Former Senator and then Council Member Rivness had some issues with some of the noise abatement commitments that were made in the past, and we went on record as a council and used that tool. So I think as long as that's still in there, members, we're not losing anything in terms of MAC accountability through the Met Council. So I support the bill. Thank you for bringing it forward, Representative Beard.
You're very welcome.
Further discussion? Mr. Shetland, I can't let this go by. You mentioned about a long-range plan.
It's a longer.
And with that, you gave a list of transportation options. What about PRT?
Mr. Chair, when this bill passes, I guarantee I'll run down to the council and ask Mr. Bell to include that.
Okay. On a serious note, Representative Hornstein renews his... excuse me, is there anybody who would like to testify for or against this bill? Figured I better ask that. Representative Rukavina just walked in the room. Okay, with that, Representative Hornstein renews his motion that Senate File 629 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the bill is passed to be sent to the General Register.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dearden. Mr. Shetland. Okay, let's all get up and leave like we're just done.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're done for the day then?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Didn't even care. You didn't feel bad or not.
Shall I adjourn the meeting, Representative Galina? Welcome to the committee, Representative Gavina.
Pleasure to be back.
We're very fortunate, Representative Gavin. We have extra time today. We can fit you on the agenda.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
House File 905.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
I will move that House File 905 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register.
Thank you, sir, and members. Basically, what this bill does is it allows the counties that have tax-forfeited land to enter into a lease agreement without having to go to an auction-type process, which they're required to do in other parts of statute. If they can do it right now for peat members, if they're mining peat on county tax forfeit land, so they could enter into a long-term agreement, and we're just adding closed loop, which is a form of plantations for biomass. And what's going on, members, is the cities of Virginia and Hibbing own their public utilities, and as a result of the 96, I believe it was, the 96 energy bill, where Xcel was required to produce so many megawatts of biomass, they haven't met that mandate yet, and we're hoping that the 35 megawatts that Virginia and Hibbing produce can help them accomplish that, while at the same time helping our publicly owned utilities. We need to have this in order to find a biomass source. There is other legislation moving coincidentally with this type of proposal. And I don't know of any opposition, Mr. Chair and members, and I have John Angaro from St. Louis County with me. If Mr. Angaro would like to say anything.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, please, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Angaro, and I'm Director of Intergovernmental Relations for St. Louis County. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the St. Louis County Board of Commissioners, who strongly endorsed the passage of this legislation. There are several reasons why the county board so strongly endorses this legislation, but if I had to identify the one compelling reason why the county board endorses this legislation, it is because it is going to afford us the opportunity to significantly increase the productivity of some of our land. As many of you know, St. Louis County is a huge county landmass-wise. We're the second largest county east of the Mississippi River in the United States. We have over 1 million acres of tax-forfeited lands, and for many of those tax-forfeited lands, we have them in production through the timber that we are able to harvest on those lands. Unfortunately, there's also a significant amount of that 1 million acres that isn't very productive. It's primarily lowland or upland brush. And what this is going to afford us is to take about 44,000 acres of that unproductive land and make it productive by introducing hybrid aspen to those lands. And incidentally, this is a technology that was developed right here in Minnesota through the Natural Resource Research Institute, so it's kind of a double win. We're able to capitalize on some of the technology that came about right here from research in Minnesota. So we're very excited about this project, and would hope that the committee supports this legislation and ultimately passes through this legislature. Thank you.
Any discussion? Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rucavina, why won't you allow us to go up for public sale?
Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, it's similar, Representative Holbrook, for there's a long-term investment, and that's why in current statute, if you look on the bill on page 5, I believe it is, there, where right now they can enter into a 25-year lease or less for peat harvesting. And it's the same thing. What we hope to do is possibly prep those marginal lands and put that quick-growth aspen, or even just harvest the alder brush that might be there now and then come back 5-6 years later in the winter and harvest it again. But when you do that, you put a lot of time and effort into it, and then to have somebody else outbid you at an auction would be kind of harmful to the work that you've already invested and the money, that time and money that you've invested. So I'm assuming that's why the fee statute is there on these tax forfeit, and we're just asking to extend it to biomass if it's for a biomass project as defined in 216B, which I believe refers to the 96 energy bill and the biomass requirement.
Representative Holbert.
Mr. Chair, so Representative Rufino, are you saying that the private market wants that you can set a minimum cost, or that the private market wouldn't be able to pay for those costs of developing that resource, or?
Well,
Representative Rufino.
Chair, it would be, right now, Virginia and Hibbing have already started doing some plantations with these popple slips, quick growth, and they've got long-term commitments by these farmers down in, actually, as far away as Aiken County. I believe they planted some already because they had to start to meet the requirements, so they had to enter into long-term agreements with these farmers so they wouldn't plant the slips. You have to do a lot of thinning in that, and actually weeding and manuring, for lack of, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know what the word is. fertilizing, I guess, would be the correct word. An iron range word, you know. We use that quite often in a number of situations. But anyway, when you do all that investment, you don't want the farmer then turning around and, you know, 5 years out, saying, well, these are my trees now, and I'll sell them to the highest bidder. So that's what we're just trying to do with the county, too. If we enter into that with the county, we don't want 5 years later to have when we, because here's the situation, Representative Holmer. Right now, the PUC has established this. They're urging Xcel to accept the proposal, and I think it actually has been approved by the Public Utilities Commission. And over the course of this 25-year project or 30-year project, Xcel has agreed to pay X dollars per kilowatt. Or per megawatt, I should say. So it's locked in. Well, 5 years from now, the county might be able to sell potlatch that wood for a higher price, but all the work's been done by the City of Virginia and Hibbing. They put the investment in, and they're locked into a price over the course of this proposal with Xcel. They can't afford to pay that amount compared to what potlatch could. So since they've done all the investment in that property up front, you know, that's what we're trying to do here, is at least for the course of that harvesting period, that they get to enter into a long-term lease instead of being outbid. And that's, I assume, what was done with the peat investments, too.
Further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, are there contracts now in place? I mean, have they gone ahead and made contracts? Sounds like you're working with farmers already on doing this. And how soon is this ready to go for?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, they make some contracts and investments with private sector, with private landowners. But this would be nearer, you know, within a closer radius to the plant. There's a lot of old fields from when we had subsistence farms up on the ranch, when the mines kicked out a lot of fins and other people had to go live in the woods and, you know, gave us our milk and beef and everything. But they're not doing that anymore. And there's a lot of marginal lands, but the more we looked, we still couldn't have the required amount of closed-loop plantations that legislation requires. So we're hoping that this will help us meet those closed-loop goals that the 95 or 6, I can't remember, legislation required a certain percentage had to be farmed and not just waste wood and, you know, those types of things.
Thank you.
Representative Rukavina and Representative Holberg, I just connected something, I think. Representative Holberg, is your question to Representative Rukavina pertinent to the language on page 6, on line 18, without first offering a public sale?
Mr. Chair, it's there, and it's also on page 5, paragraph H, line 11.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rucamino.
Currently in statute is the language on page 5 for peat farming, which, you know, indicates, like I said, a reason why there's the need for it, because you're not, in peat farming, you've got to make a huge investment in drainage and, you know, everything else before you start mining it. And that's why that was put in statute, and we're doing the same with this type of investment.
Oh, and Mr.
Representative Holberg.
Representative Rucavina, I mean, I listened carefully to your answer, and I still never got an answer that said to me that it had to be government that did this, but private business couldn't do it better. They haven't convinced me why a private business that wanted to use this resource couldn't pay the appropriate cost for the development and the long-term lease over a public entity.
Representative Rucavina.
They haven't. There's a lot of private businesses that use wood products that haven't approached the county on this at all, and in fact have their own resources and own their own property up there, like Boise and Potlatch and others. This is county-owned land. It's always going to be county-owned. It's going to be public sector property, and we want it to remain that way, but it's marginal lands. And in fact, the Department of Natural Resources right now on state lands of the same quality pay people, I think, $80. It might be $60, but I think it's $80, I heard, an acre to come in and basically get rid of that brush so that they can help wildlife and that. So the state is actually paying to have this done. And we're also hoping to work with the state-owned lands up there to do for free, or, you know, for the cost of this harvesting, what they're paying. It's just people to come in right now and mow it down and leave it there for wildlife habitat.
Any further discussion? Anyone else that would like to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 905 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the bill has to be sent to the
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've never had a bill on the consent calendar for about 18 years. Do you think you could put one on?
Mr. Chair, I'd say no to that request.
Representative Holberg, I was going to note that our committee staff is so proficient, it's already gone.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Members, because we have just a little bit of time, I've been waiting for the committee day when we have just a little bit of time, to announce a couple things. March 4th, we have scheduled a tour. As you know, I requested that the city groups and the township organizations to name a couple places that they would like us to go and see the effects from an annexation. The city group has asked us to go to St. Cloud, and the township has asked us to go to Chisago City and tour that area to look at what's happened with regard to the recent Wyoming Township case. And we've scheduled that for March 4th. Bus will leave at 8 a.m. And because we're providing a bus, there won't be any available mileage or anything like that, but you are free to drive, and we can certainly get you the information about where we're going if for some reason you need to drive. Do you have a question, Representative Hush?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just wondering, where are we going to go first?
I believe it's Chisago City first. Ah. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on that?
Do you know what the times are at Chisago City and when we would be done at Chisago City?
I think what we can do is send out an email when we have all that confirmed, so you'll have the schedule, and you can evaluate your options for travel at that time. Do you want to RSVP? We'll send this information out. It'll be in an email, and we're going to need an RSVP for meals. And the last one that I was on, they were able to arrange that the meals could be taken out of our per diem. But we are going to need that RSVP for that purpose. There's also discussion, and I'd like your input on this. There's also discussion about doing another one down to Rochester
area, and also to Dundas, where they've received an award. They said they wanted us to see a good annexation, the way it's supposed to be done, and there was an award received by the folks in Dundas. So that's another possibility. How many tours you'd like to do on annexation, I don't know. How much information you want, I don't know, but we'd really like to facilitate a good, thorough, in-depth discussion on the issue. I even want to put the suggestion out there that in the process of this, if we see something that we'd like addressed, I'm open to doing a committee bill. If we can come up with some items that would have good base of support in this committee. We had planned on bringing the TIF legislation here via our discussion and previous request that has now been canceled. there's still some points of discussion on the sales tax issue, but for now the TIF bills will not be coming to our committee, and maybe not the local sales tax. But I actually had a document with all of those bills highlighted, and I was given that as a request, but for some reason they've been pulled back. They probably heard how proficient and thorough we are in our investigation. So, but nonetheless, that's left us with Wednesday. We had planned on meeting, trying to keep up with the bill hearing requests and trying to prevent a stockpile at the end. You're going to have enough committees that have that, and I really wanted to manage this so that we stay on top of our agenda. So we had scheduled originally to have a meeting at the end of session today. We won't any longer need that, but depending on hearing requests, we may have a light load on Wednesday, and if we do, we'll continue with a panel discussion on annexation for your information at this point. Any other discussion? Comments? Criticism? Complaints? Tell me later. No. No, just kidding. With that, one other thing I wanted to do, I chose not to come around and visit with everybody at the beginning of session because I knew we'd be doing things quite differently, and I really wanted to have a chance for members to get used to and accustomed to how we're doing things. There's a few minutes left here. I have a list. Representative Haas and Representative Hornstein, we probably have enough time. Instead of taking up committee time, I just wanted to take up time and visit with each one of you whenever there's a chance. If the two of you have time, I'll be coming to your offices right after this. And if not, Representative Poppy's next on the list. Then Representative Winchesky. And I'll just make the rounds. I'm not meaning to inconvenience you. But Representative Holberg, you're not on the list. No, I really, really value your input on how things are going, whether or not you like the prioritization process or if you have critique for it. I have heard some comments of concern that maybe there's some target voting, so to speak, but I don't want that to go on, and I hope it's not going on. I'm just going to raise that because one member has mentioned that to me. And I hope that that's not going on. I hope we have a real genuine process going on, and hope we can keep it that way. And I hope you find that it's working well for you. Just bear in mind that we're trying it here. We probably don't have all the controversial bills that some other committees would, like education or taxes or something like that, but maybe we could try that in those committees someday. So thank you, members. Appreciate working with you. And if there's no objections, meeting's adjourned.